Welcome to this Touch podcast activity, which has been recorded for Touch Neurology. This podcast aims to bring you expert insights from a multidisciplinary team on the role of GLP-1 receptor agonists in the modern management of stroke in patients with type 2 diabetes. Financial support for this medical educational activity has been provided to Touch IME by an educational grant from Novo Nordisk AS. In this podcast, an endocrinologist and a neurologist are joined by a patient with type 2 diabetes who has survived a stroke and discuss how the MDT can effectively collaborate to improve stroke outcomes in patients with type 2 diabetes in clinical practice.
Hello, my name is Tina Vilsbo. I'm a clinical professor at Steno Diabetes Center in Copenhagen, affiliated to the University of Copenhagen. I'm honored to be here today. I'm joined by Professor Georgios Siougoulis. He's a professor and chairman of the second department of neurology of the National University of Athens in Greece. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
And also very much indeed, I would like to welcome Ms. Huel Ferguson-Davis. She is a patient with type 2 diabetes, a stroke and heart attack survivor, and she is the ambassador of the American Heart Association and the American Diabetes Association. A warm welcome to you, Huel. We're delighted.
Thank you for having me.
It's wonderful. In this section, we'll do our very best to discuss the modern management of stroke in type 2 diabetes. How can a multidisciplinary team actually collaborate in order to improve the outcome? For me, type 2 diabetes is extraordinarily interesting, but it's also a very, very complex disease. And very much indeed the recent years, because for a long time we actually had it for ourselves with the GPs or the primary healthcare providers, but now we have to collaborate with the cardiologists, the neurologists, the nephrologists, even the gastroenterologists. And I think that is actually extraordinarily interesting, but it's also very, very challenging. And I'd like actually to have the patient perspective before I go into discussing with Georgios. What's your experience with all the doctors that you have been interacting with in your life? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It was frustrating in the beginning because I didn't understand the language. I know that there was a stat case. They had to move immediately. But there was a lot of language I didn't understand. There was a lot of referrals. There was a lot of barriers. And, you know, once you've been hit with a stroke, your world changes. You know, I was active and all of a sudden now I couldn't think for myself. I couldn't move. I was in a wheelchair. And here I am, a wife, a mother, and I can't do the basic things. So you put on top of this having to go to see my PCP and he's giving me referrals. And I'm just thinking about this chair that I'm sitting in and can't move and not able to think. So it was frustrating because I had to navigate with my husband as far as what to do, how to do it, you know, look for my doctors for information because I needed help. I was in a position and I didn't like it because it's a lot. You know, once they say stroke emergency, the lights go off and your world becomes very chaotic.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so strong for me to hear you say that. And it's just the other version of everything going around in our everyday clinic. I know. What do you think, Georgios? What's your reflection on this?
Yeah, there is no magic bullet, but I think that multidisciplinary collaboration is the future. So in our institution, we have what we call a cardiometabolism outpatient clinic. And with regard to cardio, it's not only cardiac disease patients, coronary artery disease, it's also stroke survivors. And there are four pillars in this outpatient clinic: cardiologist who is expert on coronary artery disease, neurologist with vascular expertise, vascular background, an expert on lipid metabolism, and endocrinologist. And all the four of us are treating at the same time this individual patient because we know that referrals, and I would like to ask Haive later for her feedback on that, that referrals or the cause for not prescribing the right medication to the individual patient. We're living in the era of precision medicine. Precision medicine does not mean that you have to go from one outpatient clinic to the other, have multiple appointments during like a six-week period. No, you need to have all the expertise at the same time, at the same institution, and everything should be prescribed simultaneously by different experts. And I think that referring the patient from one specialty to the other, in the end, will hurt the patient. The patient will be tired. The patient will have poor adherence to the medication. And the lost physician, who is the last referral, will never see the patient.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's very important to have like the patient in the center. It's also what's written, at least in the diabetes guideline, you know, you have the patient in the center, and then we all have to do individualized therapy on this patient. But it is a challenge because we also know that we all have our 2, 3, 4 drug classes that we want to have on board in this patient, and that actually piles up into a lot of drugs. And then we have dietitian, physiotherapist wanting to, you know, really interact. So I think it's very important also to have multidisciplinary, you know, conferences and talks, you know, what's our prioritization actually here? What should go first? Because right now we really see that cardiologists, they want to pile in all the drugs within the first 48 hours when the patient is admitted to the hospital. And honestly, it's important to get them on board. But for me, it doesn't really have to be within the first 48 hours, because I actually think that that could be a bit overwhelming when you're actually sitting in a wheelchair and that being a focus. I don't know what you think about that, Hubel.
Yes, that's so important, and collaboration is the key. And I found myself actually questioning doctors in reference to, you know, what I was on and how do we proceed. And, you know, the referrals was a roadblock because, you know, the doctors weren't communicating. And that was a major frustration on my part as far as in the lab works. You know, when you go into a doctor's office, do they have the proper information on you? I was just told to take my drugs. I didn't know about the drugs until I did my research. And I went to my pharmacist, okay, I'm taking this. Why am I taking this? So I didn't. And as a patient, you know, we have also responsibility to learn about the information, ask questions. I knew after my stroke, I don't think as much. So I went in with a tape recorder and I asked my doctor, can I tape the sessions? Because he was regurgitating information in that first 15 minutes that I meet him. And I know that that information I needed. And I knew if I just walked in there and we had a conversation, it would go in my ears and out. So I was not, you know, so I had to become an informed patient to really understand diabetes, to control it, to look at different facets of what diabetes caused in the first place. And then I went from that, if I can control my A1C, that's a goal. But it all starts with my PCP. I collaborated with him and I wanted the information. So I started learning, but it needs to be a collaboration and empathy on the side of the doctor to make sure that relationship is forged.
Yeah, and I think it's very important what you say is that the PCP is very central here, because what we talk about is all the specialists out there, and the ideal situation is, of course, that the patient comes to the same room every time and then the specialist comes to the patient, but that is not always the case, and that's why it's very, very important. I tell my patient that a lot, that they really have to have a PCP that they are, you know, confident about, and if they don't like the PCP, they should get another one, because that is the one who should know the patient the best and then prioritize together with the patient. Okay, they all say A, B, C, D. I mean, where should we start? I think that is very important. I also think it's very important when you said that you had to learn about diabetes, you had to learn a lot, and you went on the internet and so on. I actually feel that it's our obligation to teach you about what's diabetes and what's stroke, and educate you in collaboration, because by that, then I know what kind of education you get and not the Google education. I think that's actually very important to have a good collaboration on that, so you're not left out just with the internet. And sometimes I also, you're very bright, you will, but I think many patients also need, you know, the data more than once. So write down questions. I don't know what do you do, Georgios? What's your interpretation on this discussion?
Yeah, but I think patient education is essential in terms of secondary prevention. We need to educate our patients to stop smoking and convince them why they should stop smoking. They should change their dietary habit. They should take their medications. Adherence is paramount. In order to have good adherence, you need to educate the patient and make him or her understand why she needs to take 5 or 6 pills, why she needs to do injections on her or himself. So we spend a lot of time, and we also providing very detailed instructions in writing, which is also very important.
Yeah. Okay, time is running, Hüvel. I'll give the last word to you, I think, because we have a lot of PCPs out there, a lot of neurologists. What's your 20-second pep talk to them? What should they do tomorrow?
I think it's empathy that physicians need to have in care team, because a patient, once they know that a doctor care about them, then, you know, it breaks down a lot of the hysteria of the matter. But it's so important that patients understand also that they have a role to play in understanding diabetes. Because like I said, I didn't know the ramifications of diabetes. Had I known the warning signs, especially, you know, way before the stroke, it could have been prevented. And that's just information, just not a 1-hour class of how to take your insulin. That's not enough. It's not going to work. So we have to look at everything from a holistic approach and bring everybody at the table, patient-centered, most definitely.
Yeah, I love it. Georgios and Hüvel, thank you very much for a really, really interesting discussion.
Thank you for listening to this Touch podcast. You can access more content on this topic on Touch Neurology at www.touchneurology.com. Don't forget, there are 3 other chapters in this series, so please listen in for further insights from the multidisciplinary team.